We're going to continue today looking at the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians. Last week we spoke of love. I hope maybe just opportunities to love. What love really is and broad. Movie Sunday Night, Sabina, and just a picture of love. What real love is. One who loves others. Of a woman who confronted probably maybe the very man who killed her family. And came out and saw him for the first time and realized who he was and hugged him and kissed him. And those are the kind of things we want to look for. That is spirit love. And that's impossible, right? That is impossible. So we look at that. Well, we started off our service today with what brings you joy? Because that's the next one on the list. Love, joy, peace, and joy. So a fruit of God's Spirit in us is joy. And so the question we have is, do you have joy? If people look at you, friends, family, community, and say your life is characterized joyful, would they be happy to have you in their presence because of your joy? Because I'm with you, I love being around joyful people. Way better than the not joyful people, right? You know, when I can go to work and you know, there's a couple sourpusses that are just everybody down all the time. Or do I want to hang people that are smiling, have a general happiness? Absolutely. Going with that group, right? Now, we're going to be in the Bible today, but if you could turn quickly to Romans chapter 4. Okay, so Romans 14. And 15. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to reference this in a moment. We think about joy and what joy is. What is Christian joy? Fruit of the Spirit joy place here. Okay, so in Romans 14, Paul is the church in Rome. Now, the church in Rome, a diverse mix of Jews who had migrated there, and Paul refers to them as the strong of the weak. To hang on to the custom, diet, celebrating Sabbath and other holidays, all kind of things. And so we see this. And now if you look at like 14, verse 7, right here, 14, verse 7, Paul says, "For none of us lives to himself alone and none alone." So we are looking at the idea of being joyful and we're not our own. You go up to then 15. "May the God of hope fill you all joy and peace so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit." Yeah, okay, so we see in Paul's thinking some ideas about joy. That's fine. Joy then is a sign of God's kingdom. It's going to be full of joy. It's the way we can serve. 17. Oh, I get it. Thank you. I love smart. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Thank you.
No way.
All right. So again, we see it's the way we love. We serve in peace. It's an essential ingredient to the life that we live together. And it's evidence of the Holy Spirit. See, so joy, again, if you're a Christian, you will have joy. You're going to show joy. It's important. It's important. Today I want to consider four areas of things, grandchildren and all, okay? And I'm going to give us four categories, all right? And that's what I want to consider. So here are the four things, all right? Joy is having a family, daughters, aunts, uncles. You know, when your family comes together, there's joy there. You want that. You're a little sad and they come back, it's happy. Okay, so we get together for things. There's a joy there. Two, joy is having a feast. Dinner, Easter dinner, right? There's the joy when we come together, right? There's feasting, and we're going to look at that. Three, the joy is having a faith. I want to kind of look at the idea of our gathering is faith. Having a faith is something when we fellowship, or the song was saying, the Revelation song. I mean, every time we do that, I tell you what, I just, those words, Revelation, and just swells my heart. So there's something there of joy. I'll talk about these maybe, but four is joy is having a future. Having a future. You're not just, you know, having that, but, you know, some of you mentioned some of the views I get looking down a valley and seeing a creek and cows on a hillside. And there's something important there of joy that we want to explore. So that's where we'll be going, and a lot there. So one. All right, so we saw Romans 4, the idea of joy. In fact, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." Again, so think of that joy that Paul's referring to, a church that was kind of messed up and struggling. And there's this young ones, and Paul's telling them, hey, you need to get along. Why? Because you're family. Because your family, the weak, you know, keep the Sabbath and force upon others, and the strong just trusting in Christ wants them accept and welcome one another. Because God in Christ accepted them, made them into one people. That was Paul's whole argument there, was because of what Christ did for everyone, then we are all deal to have a family. In fact, then Paul makes reference to some old, and you know, he says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, sing praise to him, all you people. 10. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentile people. He's saying, hey, Gentiles, rejoice. Why? You are part of a family. You are his people. You are his people. And in fact, it's a whole new family. Gentiles are now included because of Christ. They're accepted. They have the security of a family. They have the love of a family, the belonging of a family, intimate relationships of a family. They have the friendships that come with a family. The warmth. Don't let these other things divide you because you are family. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. All right? So Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship to the covenants of us without hope and without God in the world. So their condition was not family. You were completely separated. But now, look at verse 13. In Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Bring it near. But teen. Consequently, no longer foreigners, aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's. So there's a progression of closeness that's here. You're not just far away, you're brought close. You're not just brought close, you are actually citizens then of this community. And even more so, you are brought into the household, close place that there is. All because Christ has done. Brought us into family. In that there is joy. The same joy that I had, had my family, whole family around a table. That same joy is the joy that we have in Christ. And we have to ask then, as people come into our doors here, is that the joy they're seeing? I think so. But we should always be aware of that joy that comes from just being together. This new family in Christ, we have to remember, doesn't make everything good. You know, and that's something we have to keep in mind here, okay? I will. Lonely single people. Feuds with families, conflicts, abuse, bereavement. The reality of this world is not always happy and joyful, right? So that picture of family for some can be a hard one. And so we have this to the world. The new family of Christ doesn't make everything instantly open. Joy comes from being part of a family you can never lose. That is never going anywhere. In fact, this family, this is the oldest family that's ever been. It's the biggest family that's ever been. And it's for all eternity. So all the fear, you know, of death, of separation, you know, as you know, kids go off to college, there's just an ache there, you know, and they move on their own life, is a good thing. You know, a couple of good examples of that we see in the Bible, like in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. And we saw what happened, right? When the son came home, became part of the family, the father tossed aside all dignity, ran out the joy of his son being back. Caught up in the picture of the son and just his humbleness and fatherness thing. That's what it's about. Okay, it should be the joyous father story. Okay, that's what this is about. The parable of the lost. The parable of the lost sheep is right. Think about that. That God rejoices. You know, the joy I felt Friday evening with my daughter. God has that for you. I thought back. Remember in Zephaniah a couple weeks ago? Over us, there is a joy. And we have the story of the Ethiopian. And he's traveling along. He's coming to Jerusalem. You know, he maybe a God fear standing. And he had a scroll, right? Reading God's word. Going along, and Philip sees him. And I know slaughtered. And Philip explains to this. And he becomes a Christian. He becomes part of a family. And now in this book I was reading here, again, really, really good. Talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Turn to Isaiah. This is really cool. See, he's got the scroll. You'd think maybe 56. Okay, just a little bit ahead there, all right? And in Isaiah 50, It says, let no foreigner who is bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his... And let not any eunuch complain, only a dry tree. So a eunuch is, they have no chance for family, right? That's been taken away. Okay, for you, you're done, all right? Here, just a little bit ahead, for this eunuch, Philip could say, hey, look, that's you. And then look at verse 4 and 5. The Lord says, to keep my Sabbaths, who choose my covenant, to them I will give within my temple its memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name, a name. That's outstanding. And then skip ahead to verse 7. These I will bring to my home and give them joy in my house prayer. Oh, just hope for everybody. I can't have a family. And the fruit of spirit is family. And rejoicing. He rejoices in this new family. It's a wonderful thing. Okay, so joy is having a family. The fruit of the spirit manifested in our family nest. Feast. I love a feast. That's something good. Now, the idea of feasting is a common one in the Old Testament. We see that all over the place. It says to be joyful and rejoice, which is an odd thing. All the Psalms. Rejoice the Lord. I mean, you need to rejoice, folks. Rejoice. Get out there. Sing. Sing loud. You got to do it. Now, it's right along, complaining. Okay, there's real life here, all right? There's this idea of and being a requirement. Now, in Israel's life, okay, they had their Passover and unleavened bread, which went lost, and they had the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast. Now, what happened, because one is a holiday, I mean, everybody got it, all right? You didn't work, everybody got to be part of it, and there was great rejoicing. You look these up in like Deuteronomy 16 or all right? But again, within that context, there's the idea of rejoicing. There's a sense of celebration, getting together and eating and rejoicing, and just celebrating. You know, celebrating the harvest, celebrating his deliverance, celebrating. Just there's so much to celebrate. God wanted to make sure they didn't forget these things. And it's great because there's no, like, embarrassment here. God says, go all in. All in. Celebrate. Receive with thanksgiving the prophets, the harvests. Building of the temple, we see Ezra and the wall is celebrating. New king, they celebrated their work, the love, marriage, beauty, food, wine, all of it. It's just, God gives, we should celebrate them yes, right? Now, is that good? No, I know she had a party, but we right, that's the idea, right? We get, drunken parties, and again, the Old Testament, can be had. The good news is celebrating and enjoying God's gifts. There are. Because there is an excess of debauchery, of idolatry, sexual immorality, all right? One, joy must be morally clean. That we have to put that up, all right? There are examples in the Old Testament where things got out of hand. When parties, the commandments, right? They built the golden calf, and it just devolved into this riotous revelry. I mean, now he said they're like running wild. People just going crazy. And that's a problem, right? In Numbers, there's an example when the people were tempted by worshiping a party, and it was just bad. And God said, no, this is not good. So, but the idea that full of just, but for the whole family, to not be embarrassed, accused of. He's accused of, like, hanging out with sinners and eating these things. He wasn't fasting when he was fasting. He wasn't doing the right things. Jesus wasn't embarrassed. He was a good example. He was accused of these things, but he was able to enjoy them without condoning them. And throughout the whole New Testament, and the Word tells us that the Bible doesn't forbid humor or laughter. It does talk about forbidding coarse language, coarse humor, right? Yeah, so there's a guardrail there, folks. We can do these things. The Bible doesn't forbid enjoying food. I think that's one of those things we, in our culture, we're quick to point the finger at something we should think about. The Bible doesn't forbid buying that kind of thing, but does forbid drunkenness. There's guardrails, folks. I mean, everybody has to, in their own conscience, understand where those are for them. But our responsibility together as family is to be able to celebrate and enjoy the good things of socially inclusive. Okay, it's a wide net. Why do I say that? Look at Deuteronomy 16. We'll start there. Because, you know, inclusion can be a buzzword these days. And talk about feasting. And look at verse 11. And rejoice before the Lord your God, the place you choose as a dwelling for his name. He's talking about the Feast of Weeks. You, your sons and daughters, your servants, the Levites in your towns, the living among you. See, so when they had this, include everybody. Okay, not just your family, you know, don't be tempted to say, hey, we're having a feast and the servant, we're gonna party together. This is a good thing. We want everyone to be included, okay? And so that's yeah. Look at we don't turn it, but in Nehemiah chapter 8, when they were celebrating, was there. They said, bring them all in. People from the outside, because there's a lot of foreigners because they had settled in here. That's what they were building the wall for. They're afraid. And they said, hey, no, bring a family and some good celebrating, right? So you want to include these people. You want to include them. Matthew chapter 5. In the sermon, blessed are those who are persecuted because righteous, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'll say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, right? So we want to bring these persecuted people because we see that in Acts. Paul and Silas celebrated when they were persecuted. So we see as idea of suffering is there too. But birthday parties, right? What can we do to include in our families the idea? Because if we show people celebrating, there'll be more. So that's important. Joy should be inclusive. And that's a good guardrail. Joy, celebrate the good things we have. Okay, quickly. Third is joy is having a faith. And that's what I was talking about. Joy is having a faith. So we talk about the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's good news, right? And if you have good news, joy, right? So, but thing is, the good news is only good news. Believe it, understand it, and accept it. And okay, so there's joy, there should be joy. If this is true in the story it tells, what Christ did for us, in the assurance that it brings us, future, which we'll talk about in a little bit, faith, having a faith, is an expression of joy, or should be. I mean, if you just think about that, about like all the time. Now, again, a couple of cautions we have here. Now, but first off, we talked about suffering. Okay, there is suffering in this world, and I think the idea of deal with suffering. We know that for all the joy they talk about, the biggest thing the Psalms talk about is just the realness of life, folks. But in that, right by is rejoicing. In Habakkuk chapter 13, this is a, if you ever thought, look at this one, I always love that. Nahum. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. There it is. Okay, Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk 3:16. Yeah. It says 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vine, so the olive crop, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Joy in suffering. And that's about having a faith. And being able to lift each other up as family. Someone's struggling. This world is just can be so much burdens. And that's how we can encourage each other with a faith. Is that we have to make sure we distinguish struggles of life, which all have. Problem of like depression and you know, one is a clinically depressed person with my whole life. And going to them and just say, buck it up, Bucky. In there, you'll make it. Does nothing. Makes it work. Can bring us to help us come alongside. Even that person who is to help them, to get them to help, be aware of it, not deny it or put it aside. Right? There is, as an objective fact, joy as an objective truth. Even joy is through flowing. From the exercise of our mind and our wills in faith in God's promises in Christ. That's what we want. And just sometimes once in a while, just there's a goodness that fills us in just enjoying and taking joy in from what's around us in that. But we also know that the world's fallen, right? Of course, I was so happy when I in my book, To You Know Where, Romans 8, starting at verse 6. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's chosen with Christ. If indeed we share in the suffering, in order that we may also glory. So there's a suffering. And I consider our present sufferings not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. The creation waits in eager expectation, sons of God, to reveal. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who created, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage of God. We know the whole creation has been groaning, pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the fruit inwardly, as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, redemption of our bodies, for in this we hope for what he already has. But we hope what we do not yet have. We hope. There's a joy in hope. A joy in anticipation. And yes, this world are frustrating. In creation itself, in the fallenness of but in that we can hope and have joy in it. It's going to be better. That the creation itself is going to be renewed. I look forward to that. Seeing how things should run and be in this world. How much joy I can take in looking without smog or worried about dirty water or all the bad things we've done. You know, it's going to be fast. In fact, let's look at, turn to Isaiah chapter 65. This is, I think, joy really, the rubber meets the road. So, 65, behold, I will create a new heaven. The former things will not be remembered. Nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. Will I recreate Jerusalem to be a delight, people a joy? I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sounds of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Never again will there be in it an infant or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought, he who fails to reach 100, considered a kid. So there's this picture of there's going to be a new, look forward to that. Body is letting you down these days, maybe. A new body, a new creation. This is wonderful. 96. So at the end of this psalm, it's a joy. Sing to the Lord a new song. But at the end of this, if you go to verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees in the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord when he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. The creation itself, I mean, cool is that going to be, folks? We're going to look at that and just go, wow, the creation itself, the newness, the joy of it, how it's supposed to be, is lift up praise to God. In fact, in these few psalms here, if you look up, and it says it's kind of the same thing. It includes that the trees are going to clap, which I think is awesome. Yeah, the rivers are clap their hands. The mountains will sing together. I mean, of a future that is full of joy, even though it's not really all there always today. One more time, one more place. We have to. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. We are so, because of that destiny, because of the assurance, the rock solid knowledge, it's going to be great. We can experience joy now. That is a fruit of God's Spirit. Anticipation, the knowledge of what's going to be better. We can take joy in that. Next week when we're enjoying a potluck together, now, of course, there are, you know, in the Bible itself, it's a deep well of joy in God's Word. I want to, if your general demeanor is not joyful, and again, I don't want to berate folk here. Okay, that's not the point. You know, we do live in a fallen world. I completely understand that. But there's hope. Let's act like, you know, so I'm happy. Come on. We have every reason to. And when it's not joyful, let's lift each other up as family. Amen.